Uncontrolled. Donovan Curtis, IQ 112.
I leaped up out of my seat, fists punching at the air.
Yeah! Go Tin Man! At that, I was several seconds behind the Daniels, who were whooping and high-fiving like madmen, drawing annoyed looks from the spectators around them. Even Katie, who was not much of an athlete these days, was on her feet, cheering. I couldn't help wondering what it must have been like to be in the pit just then, all those guys going nuts as they got ready for the final contest. I could see Oz talking to Abigail, plotting strategy for the battle that lay ahead. She was the driver. Everything depended on her. I knew how it felt when the controller was in your hand. The Daniels were analyzing the upcoming showdown like it was the pitching matchup for Game 7 of the World Series. Obviously, Tin Man is the best robot, Nussbaum expounded. If he wasn't, we couldn't have won the auto-directed competition. Yeah, but Cold Spring Harbor has been pulling further ahead of us every round, Sanderson worried. If we can't pick up our driving, we're toast. Considering those guys had come to make fun of the parts of the meet they didn't sleep through, they seemed pretty involved in it now. It took about 20 minutes to set up the grand finale, which involved having the robots place inflated rings of different sizes onto strategically placed pegs. It was the bread and butter of any meet, and we had practiced it endlessly. Each ring carried a different point value. Also, the round would be timed, with bonuses for early completion. It would be tough driving, but there was reason to be hopeful. You had to be constantly aware of what balance of speed and accuracy would get you the most points. A guy like Noah could spit out calculations like that faster than a computer. A tense silence fell in the auditorium as the four robots were moved into their positions on the floor. Standing beside Cold Spring Harbor's gleaming Potzilla, poor Tin Man looked like a soapbox racer next to an Indy car. Albert Einstein's banana barely reached the lowest position of the front runner's lifting arm. Tin Man versus Potzilla. David versus Goliath. The whistle blew, and they were off. Chloe slipped a green ring around one of Tin Man's lifting forks, and our robots started across the course. The four competitors placed their first ring successfully, but Abercrombie Prep was beginning to fall behind as they came back for more.
Let's go, Tin Man! Barked Sanderson.
You can do it, dude!
Nussbaum added. I held my breath when I saw the next ring. It was one of the black ones. Small ring, small hole. Harder to handle, but with the highest point value. Orchard Park wasted precious seconds tightening a loose wheel. Tin Man lumbered back toward the pegs. The lift mechanism rose almost to its apex. It was going to be tricky. One false move, and that ring would hit the floor, taking the Academy's hopes with it. The tiny ring found its place. The auditorium burst into applause, and Tin Man swung around for the next pass. Potzilla was hot on his heels, but with our hardest ring already in place, it was advantage Tin Man. Our next ring was pink, the largest. That was when it happened. As Tin Man crossed the floor, Potzilla put on a sudden burst of speed. The swerve seemed completely natural, but it was just enough for one of the arms to sweep into Tin Man's path. It bumped lightly into the pink ring, knocking it off Tin Man's fork. It made no sound when it hit the floor, but it might as well have been a bomb blast. A gasp went up in the auditorium.
No!
Chorused the Daniels. Oz was on his feet, shouting at the judges who were waving him off. Abigail was panicking, fumbling to pick up the dropped ring. Potzilla motored past. Soon after, Orchard Park and Abercrombie followed. I jumped up.
That was on purpose.
Katie shot me a sharp look. Donnie, don't you dare. But I was already running. I don't know what I thought I could accomplish. At minimum, I had to calm Abigail down, talk her through the operation of picking up the fallen ring, get everything back on track. I pounded down the stairs and leaped to the floor. Chloe was the first to notice me.
Donovan?
One by one, the team members recognized me. Faces lit up. Cries of greeting rang out. But this was no time for a reunion. Our chance of winning the robotics meet was slipping away with every tick of the clock.
Donovan!
Abigail was last. Her eyes were huge, her expression desperate. I started shouting instructions, struggling for calm myself.
Take the joystick and...
She had a better idea. She thrust the controller into my hands and backed away, panting.
What could I do?
I lowered the lift mechanism, tipped up the ring, and skewered it with one of the forks. Then I delivered it to its destination, deftly raising it and placing it onto the peg. Wasting no time, I wheeled Tin Man around and headed back toward Chloe. She looked devastated, shaking her head tragically. I understood the message instantly. I was too late. Podzilla had already picked up the final ring and was headed toward the peg and victory. I saw red. After sabotaging us, Cold Spring Harbor was not going home with first prize, not while I had the joystick in my hand. I drove Tin Man right into the path of the big, shiny pot.
Donovan! Shouted Oz. Stop!
Podzilla was bigger and heavier, but Cold Spring Harbor didn't know that Tin Man had a secret weapon, a powerful motor in the lift mechanism, one that had polished every floor in the Academy for scholastic distinction. A split second before impact, I engaged the forklift. Tin Man picked up Podzilla bodily, the larger robot's mechanum wheels spinning without traction. Absolute pandemonium broke out. The Cold Spring Harbor kids were screaming, but my team was matching them in volume. The head judge was blowing his whistle, but it could not be heard over the general din. Neither could Schultz, who was shouting at me from behind Chloe. Anyway, I couldn't stop now. Tin Man was a bundle of circuits, incapable of revenge fantasy. But I was all too human. Cold Spring Harbor's driver was trying to free Podzilla by thrashing with its lifting arms. I needed to act fast. Tin Man had been designed for competition, not combat, so I had to improvise a little. I swiveled 90 degrees and, using Podzilla as a battering ram, I charged the scorer's table. Oz hollered,
Donovan!
It came out a 10-syllable word. But I was committed. The judges scrambled for cover as I slammed that big pot right into the steel-reinforced corner of the table. Podzilla bounced off, dented. One lifting arm hung limply by its shiny bulk. The other reached for Tin Man with evil intent. I backed my robot away. A shriek behind me penetrated even the chaotic noise of the crowd. Noah bounded onto the scene. He snatched up one of the judges' abandoned chairs and brought it down, WWE style, on Podzilla's polished crown.
Wham!
And then again, wham! 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 If the cybernetic pot hadn't been finished before, it was finished now. It wobbled once and keeled over, lying there, an upended cockroach, wheels turning like struggling legs. The auditorium had been rocking with excitement, dismay, horror, laughter, and outrage. But now that the action seemed to be over, a strange hush fell as people waited to see what would happen next. Considering the craziness of the situation, it was a strangely familiar moment to me. The impulsive act was over, but the consequences had not yet descended on my head. It was as if time had ground to a halt, and we were all frozen there. What the future held, I couldn't predict, but I had a sense that it had something to do with Dr. Schultz pushing through the throng toward me, his face a thundercloud. A high-pitched voice suddenly cut through the eerie silence.
Donnie?
It was Katie, struggling down the grandstand steps.
Donnie, it's time.
I was so wrapped up in the insanity that I wasn't thinking straight. Time for what? Chloe wasn't like me. She was in the gifted program for real.
The baby, she exclaimed. Katie's having the baby.